Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by James Short, CEO of Celladon Pharmaceuticals. Welcome back to the podcast, Jim.
Thank you for having me back, Phil and Kevin. Good to see you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, we saw the news of a major strategic update from the company, Celladon announcing its intention to delist from the AIM market and re-register as a private limited company, pending shareholder approval at a general meeting scheduled for the 28th of July, 2025. This decision marks a significant shift for the UK-based medical cannabis business, which has been focused on the research, cultivation and supply of breakthrough cannabis-based medicines. In this episode, we speak to James about the rationale behind the proposed move, what it means for shareholders and patients alike, and Celladon's future as a private entity. So, Jim, just talk us through that, as I say, that the rationale behind this proposed delisting from AIM.
First of all, I've got to say we didn't take this decision lightly. You know, we did a lot of work, a lot of due diligence in making the decision of asking shareholders to see whether, you know, they're prepared to vote to delist the business. And, you know, and this is a bit of a common theme with most of the companies that have delisted recently, especially off AIM. And, you know, companies IPO typically for two reasons. One is to access capital, and the other one is to give liquidity to shareholders. We actually did it for a third reason, and that was to show the investor community we are not just another cannabis company, we're more of a pharmaceutical company. So corporate governance, things like that. And we've done that over the 3 years. And, you know, we have managed to raise money. Unfortunately, the market that we are on, the exchange, has had gone through difficult times over the last 3 years. And it shows that there were 1,600 companies on the market when we IPO'd. There's now 500, I believe. So there were red flags there. And we thought we need to look at this. Our share price is going down, but yet our deliverables were going up. So we made a decision having looked at everything. And I mean, we analysed different markets, lots of investors, and we made the decision that we feel at the moment this business is going to be better as a private company rather than being on the current exchange that it's on. That's the rationale behind it. Now, hopefully, and there's no guarantee that when we are private, it will give us the ability to potentially access further capital, which is what we need. You know, we're a growing business. We always knew we'd need more capital, and that's the reason why we went on the market in the first place.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and as I say to all shareholders and everybody, there's no guarantee we can get money privately, but what I can guarantee is I can't get it public because we've tried for 2 years. So yeah. I've got to, as a CEO, as a duty, is to try and look at alternatives. And hopefully, being private, that will allow us to do that.
Yeah. And just for sort of like for my sanity, like how hamstrung do you feel you have been on the markets, you know, on this by having listed, like in things like, as you say, being able to raise capital? That's generally the reason why that, you know, they're called capital markets for that reason. And also things like, you know, putting out RNSs and things taking, I think sometimes you've been very frustrated about the length of time that it, because of this special, whatever, exceptional resolution or whatever it is. But just talk us through how frustrating it's been at times.
Yeah, so what you can't do is you can't moan about it and say we've been hamstrung because we knew what we were getting ourselves into when we became a public company. And so does every other public company. It's there in black and white. It's been done many, many times. Unfortunately for Celladon, because of the industry we are in, bear in mind we're one of only two companies at the time that AIM ever allowed on. And the one prior to us was GW, which was an amazing success. But they're only successful because they came away from AIM and went on to NASDAQ and went up to 4 or 5 billion and then exited in 21 for 7.2 billion. So it's a bit of a path here. But unfortunately for us being in cannabis, we had what's called a special condition put on us. And it made the regulators overcautious. You know, our nomads, our lawyers, they were overcautious. And they've done a great job. Trust me, we've had battles back and forward. You know, with RNSs taking a week to get an RNS done. But they have a job and they have a duty. Unfortunately, I think they've overstepped it because they've had to be ultra, ultra cautious. So it's really, really slowed us down. And I think I've mentioned to you or many other people, typically it should take 15 to 25% of a CEO's time. Unfortunately for me, now whether this is because I'm not efficient enough or I'm too hands-on, I think I've lost about 60% of my time. And honestly, this is gospel truth. Over the last few weeks, I have had particular shareholders speaking to me, and they're saying, I can even, well, I have a WhatsApp that I received this morning where people are saying, we've never seen you look as happy as if you're getting your mojo back. Because I've not focused on what I enjoy and what I can do really good, and that is deliver value in businesses. Because I've been distracted over on the right-hand side dealing with what I've had to deal with. So as I say, I don't want to cry that, all that. You have a duty as a public company, and we knew what we're getting ourselves into. But I didn't know it was going to be quite like this because of the special condition that was put on us. It's been very difficult. So I hope that
So,
answers
Jim,
the question.
what is ahead for Celadon? We've gone through this period, probably the worst 3 years in AIM history in terms of the market, and you've had this special condition which has caused problems, not just time, a lot more money as well, I would imagine. What is the future for Celadon? I mean, paint us a picture as a private company. And then, as you said, surely the route is to increase the valuation of Celadon and then move on to the Nasdaq, where it's going to be much easier to operate.
Yeah, well, it's certainly more entrepreneurial, that's for sure, on Nasdaq, and capital's more entrepreneurial over that side of the pond. So the future is we go private. Hopefully I'll get 60% of my life back, which I can dedicate more to the business. If we are successful at raising more capital, we can then go and supercharge what I wanted to do over the last 3 years. Because we now have the licenses in place. We now have the plan. We now have the strategy. We've tested everything. So the future is, is just to keep pushing as hard as we possibly can. I hope that answered your question, Kevin. You're right. We couldn't have picked a worse time. In fact, there's a particular broker that we all know who introduced us to you. And he said to me 3 years ago, Jesus Christ, you couldn't have picked a worse time. And I went, I didn't choose it. It was just the way the markets are. The key thing is, Kevin, is I am still dedicated and committed to this business. We are definitely on the right track. Some of the products we have, some of the products we've developed, some of the diseases we're doing, the patient feedback we're getting is we are on the right track to this being God knows how big of a value company, but we're definitely on the right track. Just one last thing on that, though, Kevin, as well. Just because we are going private, it doesn't mean we're going to start getting lackadaisical. We are still keeping up with our corporate governance. Because what we've been through on AIM puts us in really good shape to be ready to go on to that, hopefully the US market or a sale or an exit. So we're going to keep up with those corporate governances. So if the opportunity comes, we can turn the tap and get on another market.
Yeah, and I mean, how are we looking in terms of the? I know there was always going to be a sort of a lead time before things started to kick in, but are we talking about revenues from these deals that you did in, I think it was Denmark, starting to come to fruition in the next period of time?
Yeah, so the Denmark one started to pay now very little. It's not, we have been delayed with it again due to regulation. And I've had shareholders say, why keep blaming regulation? Because that is the fact. I can't push regulators any harder than what we push them. I tried every trick in the book. So that has been delayed, but we're starting to get a little bit of that revenue through. We think it'll be first half of next year before that escalates. In actual fact, we were talking to a particular person in Germany that we may bring on in the new year to help us accelerate that and catch back some of the time we may have lost. One of the other diseases, which I don't want to mention on this call, because we are ahead of the curve at the moment, we will be announcing that first quarter of next year. We're pretty much launched now. We've got a number of patients on it. We're doing a beta test with it. Results have been off the scale. And that's no rubbish. That's no BS. You know I won't BS you. But the results are going really, really well. So once we can manufacture that at scale, which we'll be at that position by October, November this year, we'll push that hard in the new year. And again, that's a big revenue driver for the UK, and that's producing it in the UK in our facility.
Good. And I think just for people's knowledge, we're going to be keeping in touch with you, and you're going to be coming on here every couple of months and telling everybody the updates on the business. So other than the fact that you won't be able to trade on AIM, your hope is you're going to be able to trade on one of these unlisted platforms, and you're still going to be kept up to date with all the information.
Yeah, so we've actually signed with JP Jenkins, so we are on that exchange. Trading's probably a loose word. It's a peer-to-peer, it's a point-to-point, whatever you want to call it. But at least people, if they want to sell, they can. And if somebody wants to buy, hopefully there's something to buy. But it is definitely our intention to keep the market or the shareholders updated. And why wouldn't I? Because that story keeps going ready for the US listing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we want to keep them updated. And more importantly, I want to keep the shareholders, those that were for delisting and those that weren't for delisting, the shareholders. And I want to keep them updated. And actually, we put in the circular, I think every quarter we'll keep them updated. And I always said to shareholders, if they can demonstrate they've got a share in us, I'm more than welcome to fetch them to site and give them my time and take them through. And I always say, some take us up on that opportunity, some don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a new way forward now. And I think because of all the headwinds, I'm hoping that this is going to mean that, I mean, you're a sailing man, so you'll have your direction right. And hopefully it's all going to work out.
I was a sailing man until I founded Celadon. I've had to give that hobby up for a bit, but it'll come at one point, hopefully. We just need to get the ship firmly back on course of what I want.
Back on course, yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll say on that note, James Short, CEO of Celadon Pharmaceuticals, thanks very much for appearing back on the podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.